The following is an unrehearsed interview with United States Senator Chuck Grassley speaking to you from Washington, D.C. Participating in today's public affairs program are Darren Swenson of KDEC Radio in Decorah and Wayne Domanofsky of the Sergeant Bluff Advocate. The first question will come from KDEC's Darren.
Senator, Republicans have unveiled a plan to not only repeal the Affordable Health Care Act, but put in a plan of their own. This just coming out within the last 24 hours. A, what does this plan do that the Affordable Health Care Act does not do? And B, would it be fair to question whether or not this is a waste of time, knowing the fact that any repeal of Obamacare probably won't pass the president's desk without getting vetoed?
I'm not familiar with what they voted out of committee. In fact, I thought the bill that passed yesterday was a repeal of Obamacare and then an instruction to the two committees of the House to come up with an alternative. So I can't comment on the alternative. I can give you some ideas of what I think ought to be in an alternative. But let me start with your last question. Your last question brought up the issue of a possible presidential veto, and there will be. And so nothing can really happen. But then in March, and then with a decision in June, there's going to be a King versus Burwell case decided by the Supreme Court. And that's dealing with a provision of the law that said the subsidy for health insurance can only go to people in states that have set up their own state exchange. And that provision was put in there by the Democrats because they wanted to force states to set up exchanges. So they figured every state would set up an exchange because they would want their citizens to get subsidies. Well, the president said, if states don't set up the subsidy, then I'm going to say, we'll go ahead and pay the subsidy anyway. So then Mr. King takes it before the Secretary of HHS and it gets to the Supreme Court. That says the law is pretty clear. They can't get a subsidy. So I think the real battle on any possible changes of Obamacare will come if the Supreme Court, and that's a big if, but the law seems to be pretty clear that there's no way the Supreme Court can get around except declaring the president's actions unconstitutional or against the law, that he didn't have the authority to do it when the plain language of the law says something else. So if they do rule that president's action illegal, then it gives an opportunity to sit down and negotiate, because obviously they're going to continue the subsidy, but it gives leverage to make changes in the basic legislation. Now, that's not the same as repeal, but one of the things that would be done away with the Supreme Court case is the individual mandate. And that's one of the things that is so obnoxious to Republicans, is that the federal government's telling you the first time in the history of our country you got to do something. A lot of times the federal government says you can't do this or you can't do that, but this is the first time they've ever said you have to have do something, and that do something is buy health insurance. Let's go to Wayne.
Senator, we published your release about the Senate's passing legislation on the Keystone XL pipeline and your belief that President Obama would veto that bill. You noted also that the Senate last month voted on more amendments than all of 2014. Okay, regards the president's executive orders on how on many instances, he has bypassed Congress to initiate measures that here in Northwest Iowa are very unpopular, like the unwanted immigration waiver, the result of which has seen illegal youth being resettled in many of our states without the states either knowing about this or even wanting it. This said, would it be appropriate for the House and Senate to bypass the president, as he has done to the Congress, on such thing as the Affordable Care Act or the terrorist prisoner exchanges and release from Guantanamo and other such actions?
It wouldn't be right for those of us in Congress to who take an oath to uphold the laws and the Constitution to do something that's unconstitutional. and that would be unconstitutional because it's pretty clear that a law doesn't go into effect unless the president signs it or lets it go into effect without his signature. So I could not do that, and I wouldn't attempt to do it, and I don't think you could get away with it. So then what we need to look at is the tools that we have available to override presidents on constitutional actions, whether they're immigration or anything else. And there's three tools. One would be to change the law, but if he vetoes that law, then the law isn't changed, so that doesn't accomplish anything. Another thing is to pass what's called a congressional veto. A majority of the Senate on this, you don't have to have 60 votes. Let's say 51 to 49 to override some regulation. That would put a stop to it. Or put riders on appropriation bills that said none of this money in this appropriation bill can be used to carry out regulations such and such. Now, that's three in the Congress that you can do. Then there's a fourth, which probably is a better chance of getting it done, because on at least 12 occasions, courts have said the president exceeded his authority. And one of those most basic one was when the president appointed people without Senate confirmation to the National Labor Relations Board. It was pretty clear that the law says only the Senate can determine when we're in session. The president determined we weren't in session when we were, went ahead and appointed people without the approval of the Senate. The court, in a 9-0 decision, which includes two of his own appointees, said he acted unconstitutionally. So on all of these things, like right now, on immigration, 13 states are going to the courts to declare the president's actions last November on immigration as unconstitutional. And the judiciary is a referee between the executive and legislative branches, and I think that's probably the best chance for change of the president's behavior than even the Congress. But we still have to continue to work to overcome his unconstitutional actions in Congress, even if we aren't successful. Back to Darren.
What's the latest on the renewable fuel standard?
Well, we're waiting for EPA. There's two things. One, we're waiting for EPA to make a decision of how much ethanol has to be mixed with gasoline. They punted that last year. I'm floating a letter around that's got 27 to 30 signatures right now saying in the case of biodiesel, it's very necessary for EPA to act quickly. Let's hope they do. The other thing is there will be attempts to repeal the renewable fuel standard, but it is already in the law, and so they got to change the law. And I think that we can stop them from changing the law, but we're going to have to defend renewable fuel standard for the first time in about 8 years. Back to Wayne.
Senator, a question I have had brought to my attention often is term limits for the House and the Senate members. What will it take to enact such a measure?
Grassroots movement. I voted for it in 1996 or 97. I don't remember the exact year that we had it up. The only time it's been up, but there was a big grassroots movement for term limits. In other words, two terms in the Senate would be 12 years, six terms in the House would be 12 years, and that carried in the House but lost in the United States Senate because it takes a two-thirds vote to get it to the states to approve. And it did get a majority vote, but it didn't get a two-thirds vote. Back to Darren.
Related to the political climate that we're dealing with right now, you mentioned there's more work that has been done on the Senate side since the Republicans took over leadership from Harry Reid, but a lot of Americans are more concerned about the end result. Is there a change in the political climate of Washington since Republicans have taken majority of both houses, or is it the same old, same old?
Same old, same old, but there is a difference on the end result. The political bickering of the last 4 years was because it didn't produce any product because Reid would not bring up like 370 bills that the House passed that he just wouldn't touch. The Senate is going to function as a effective deliberative body, amending body, and the statistic that Wayne was referring to and you're referring to, in 1 week, no, in 2 weeks, on one bill, we considered more amendments than Reid would let the Senate vote on all last year. Last year it was 18. So far this year, it's well over 35. And so we're going to get bills to the president. If the president vetoes, then the end result that you ask about, Darren, is the same. But at least the president doesn't even have to consider those when Reid was running the United States Senate. Thank you, Darren and Wayne, for participating in today's public affairs program. This has been Senator Chuck Grassley reporting to the people of Iowa.